I'm chatting with Meryl Peck, Head of Equities Research, Old Mutual Investment Group. Meryl, appreciate the time today. It's been a busy week. Budget speech this last past Wednesday. We have an election date, 29 May. What key pronouncements perhaps caught your attention on the budget speech in relation to impact on equity markets?
Yes, good day, Simon. Quite a few things. I think the headline, you know, as is being discussed in the media now, is that it was quite a market-friendly budget. That is the consensus. And, you know, that in itself is quite comforting in an election year. There were a few standouts, probably five or six things caught my attention. First of all, no new allocation to SOEs.
Yeah.
And the tone, you know, in the minister's speech itself, very, you know, one of basically encouraging discipline, rigor, governance within SOEs, and playing a bit of carrot and stick with any further allocations or further assistance and support to SOEs coming with conditions of them opening up to private sector participation. Mm-hmm. So I think that is quite encouraging. Perhaps the big surprise in an election year, no fiscal drag relief.
Yeah.
So we can talk about the impact, you know, on consumer, but my net takeout is this is actually positive. Anything that leaves the market feeling like the fiscus is under control in the long run is actually better for the economy, better for investment, better for the rand. There was a lot of speculation about Jofectra, whether it would be used, whether it would be announced now, what would it be used for. And I think we've had a good outcome. If we are going to use these reserves, to use them to pay down debt rather than to fund consumption or perhaps even infrastructure where we're not 100% sure of the governance, you know, I think this is the best application of these reserves that we could hope for. So this was a positive. And then quite a big bump up in expected infrastructure spend, certainly versus actual spend of the last 3 years. You know, it's about a 50% increase in the medium-term framework versus what has actually been spent. So again, quite a strong injection into infrastructure and construction, you know, low-end job creation could come out of that. And then the final thing that caught my eye was starting to talk about electric vehicle production. I found that quite interesting. And, you know, how to adapt. We've got a great incentive scheme. We've got a great auto manufacturing industry. Again, a big carrier of jobs in the country. And it would certainly be a shame were we not to keep up with the times and be part of the green transition there. So it's good to see that minds are being applied on how to do that.
And that's a good point. And in particular, I mean, motor fuel vehicle production is a significant part of our economy. If we look at risks associated with South Africa right now, how is this budget for sort of foreign investors? I mean, what you're talking around there, I mean, it to me looked like a budget which I think foreigners can look at and say, this is sensible. I mean, you know, it's not within 100 miles of the, you know, the Turkey interfering with central bankers and some of the stuff out of Venezuela. It looked like a mature budget which could catch the eye of international investors.
Absolutely. I think mature is a good word. You know, I was thinking conservative, but mature is certainly a good word. Even the Jofectra, you know, my understanding is that this is actually global practice. You know, there's been a lot of maybe what's the sensationalism around we're stealing the crown jewels, you know, to pay the expenses. And that is a narrative that one can construct, but there is global precedent for using this. And the fact that it is specifically going to reduce debt, which in the end reduces, you know, our borrowing costs. I think even that is being done in a responsible and mature way. Probably the scaremongering and the worst case scenario would be to have expected big injections into grants or infrastructure spending, borrowing to fund all of that, you know, to stimulate, to secure rather loyalty for the ruling party. And we haven't seen that, which I think is really quite commendable.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what stood out for me, perhaps, as much as anything else, was that it didn't read or listen like an election year budget.
Absolutely. You know, I think what international investors are looking at, we need to certainly get SOEs under control. I think that would increase confidence. We need to continue scrutiny and improving governance within those, because obviously we need reliable ports, we need reliable rail, we need reliable electricity generation. So I think the tone that Treasury is taking there would fill investors with some measure of confidence. And I think, you know, the one thing to watch would be the wage bill, but we don't have negotiations this year.
Yeah.
So again, even we've seen budgets in the past where the debt to GDP ratios look amazing and everything is trending in the right direction, but when you scrutinize the growth assumptions, they just look ridiculously high. You know, so even there, they haven't sort of tried to window dress or cook the books to make the ratios look good. You know, growth assumption of 1.3, it's a very sober, these are very sober assumptions, very sober and mature budgets.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You mentioned the top of your list of about the budget was that lack of allocation to state-owned enterprises, SOEs. Eskom got a scolding. Transnet was told, we have a plan and you don't need the money. Is the minister doing enough to sort of start restoring investor confidence? Something which I think it's not going to be overnight, but are these the right sort of steps?
You know, I do believe it's going in the right direction. And I suppose the thing that makes it quite market friendly is this encouragement of privatization and partnering with the private sector. I think that goes a long way to buying a bit of goodwill and buying hope that there would be increased governance and increased efficiency of delivery. You know, private investors would be looking to make a return. And so there would be some, hopefully, you know, if everything is executed above board, some objective and independent eyes on the accounts, on the processes. So I think that will certainly be well received by international investors.
Moving from budget, as I said up front, this is an election year. We've got a date for 29 May. There is a lot of talk / expectation that the ANC will fall below 50% for the first time since democracy in South Africa. How are you and your team looking at this potential political risk as the different scenarios play out? And there are a number of them, but how are you sort of looking at these potential risks?
Yeah, so, you know, if you look at the polling data, certainly does point to, from various sources, certainly does point to the ANC falling below 50. If you look at the municipal elections, local government elections as well, that trend would suggest that, if you copy and paste. However, we know national elections can surprise, turnout can sway things, electioneering and campaigning can sway things closer to the time. And if we look at the performance, if you knew nothing else and you just looked at the trajectory of the national election scores since 1994 or the ANC's majority, it would suggest that they may still come in slightly above 50%. You know, I think there's perhaps that is a base case with a close to 50% probability. I don't think it's a base case of high confidence base case as it would have been in the years gone by. And I suppose the scenario that people would be most afraid of and the most pessimistic scenario would be quite a shortfall below 50%, such that the EFF becomes an attractive partner.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that there are factions within the ANC that are, you know, the more the radical economic transformation faction that probably would look at a budget like we've just had this week and perhaps not be content with that. You know, would we lean in a more populist direction? So I think that is the fear, and that is that's the bear case. Partnering with or the need for small parties to just make up a few percentage points, or more interestingly, partnering with the DA, you know, it is not necessarily a bad outcome. I think it's just an unfamiliar outcome to us as South Africans. But when we look at many countries in Europe, almost every country is run through coalition.
Yeah.
Every liberation party in the history of time has eventually lost their majority. You know, and we are coming up on that 30-year mark. If you look at the Indian Congress, it took about 27 to 30 years.
Yeah.
Atatürk's party in Turkey, it took about 30 years. You know, in Mexico, I forget the name of the Liberation Party, but they had, I think, about a 70-year rule. And eventually the transition, but they went through quite a few periods of violence and militants, you know, to get a transition. So I think the outcomes are quite broad. But when we look at what's come out, a budget like this, if you think back to the last year or two, we've had moves like when everybody was speculating about, you know, conscription of pension assets, etc. And instead, what did we get? You may take 45% of your money offshore.
Yeah.
You know, so the headlines and the what one reads and what the market fears, what average South Africans fear, in the end, what transpires a lot of the time is actually reasonably moderate. So we look at that and we've got to tie up rhetoric and then actually look at the policy and the speed with which the ANC has executed more populist policies has been slow. You know, the allocation in this budget, even to NHI, was quite small.
It was tiny.
So you've got to look at that and say, could even an outcome here with a DA be possible? A blink response might be absolutely no. But, you know, we've seen a lot of research that suggests that even many ANC supporters would not be violently opposed to that, where there does seem to be less appetite for the radicalism that the EFF brings for the majority of ANC supporters and, you know, who knows what cabinet itself thinks. So in those various scenarios, I think so much negativity has already been priced into the rand, into bond yields. Sentiment is low. Offshore investors have run away. We've fallen out of many indices globally. If we see a peaceful election, either a small ANC majority or tie-ups with very small parties, or a tie-up with a moderate opposition, potentially we could see a rally of great proportions in the more locally facing equities and in bonds.
Is that how then you and your team are sort of positioning around it? Because and I take your point. I mean, you know, there is the extreme sort of nightmare scenario, and absolutely, you know, that's not impossible. We can put a likelihood to it. But I take your point around, you know, you're saying that the ANC almost in a sense says one thing but does something else, and what they're doing, and I go back to the word of mature, they're doing that conservative sort of mature stuff, the responsible management, and taking that into account, how are you looking at positioning portfolios ahead of the election?
Yeah, we've certainly been adding to the banks and the clothing retailers, partly also out of a view that we think we are reaching or have reached peak interest rates. Now, we cannot call when the cut will come, but you know, so if we take the election out of it, last year was quite a terrible base in terms of load shedding and the additional operating costs that many companies had to bear or consumers had to bear. That is now in the base. South African consumers, households, companies, cabinets, the one thing that we are is resilient and adaptable. I think companies have figured out, management teams, particularly the good ones, have figured out how to navigate load shedding. So this is in the base. And at least in the 6 weeks this year so far, we haven't had the level of or the frequency of stage six as we did have at one point in time. So potentially we're looking at a better year anyway because of the level of load shedding that's in the base. We're not going to see the same scale of you know, some of the commodity inflations in food and oil, energy. So things are getting slightly better for consumers, perhaps slightly better for growth prospects, and therefore those interest rate sensitives are appealing to us. We don't look to position around an election. Really, anything can happen.
Yeah.
So we've got diversified portfolio right now. Certainly within the equity space, we have some exposure to gold. We do have defensive rand hedge counters like BTI and Anheuser-Busch. But yes, we have been incrementally tilting the portfolio back to SA Inc. And I think how we think through the risk, we would not want to build a portfolio that needs a specific election outcome or returns fall apart. So we are also looking for companies that have a specific story that, regardless of the macroeconomic environment, can deliver returns. So who are the companies who are innovating, who are taking market share, who are consolidating, who are potential buyout targets? Mm-hmm. And those stories are there. So, we've held the construction names for quite some time. Our view has been that the construction sector has been so hollowed out after a decade or more of lack of infrastructure spend that companies like Wilson Valley and Raubex are the last ones with the balance sheet to actually accommodate big projects. And so to see a budget that is actually also forecasting a kick up in infrastructure, some of that doesn't have to come from government. Private sector is spending, renewable spend build out is proceeding. So these companies are sitting at record order books as it is without the infrastructure announcements that we've seen this week. ShopRite is innovating and taking market share while Pick and Pay is falling apart. So regardless of the economic backdrop, there are always returns to be had in the SA Inc. space.
Yeah, and I take your point. We don't know what the election will bring us, so it's almost kind of investing in spite of, and perhaps that's why the budget is in the immediate more important. We'll leave it there. Meryl Pick, Head of Equities Research, Old Mutual Investment Group, really appreciate the time.
Fantastic.